I'll begin my talk with a reading from the Kyogyo Shinsho, Shinran's collection of the true and essential teachings for our lives on the Nembutsu teaching. Please join me in Gassho. Deep mind is the deeply entrusting mind. There are two aspects. One is to believe deeply and decidedly that you are a foolish being of karmic evil, caught in birth and death, ever sinking and ever wandering in transmigration from innumerable kalpas in the past, with never a condition that would lead to emancipation. The second is to believe deeply and decidedly that Amida Buddha's 48 vows grasp sentient beings, and that allowing yourself to be carried by the power of the vow without any doubt or apprehension, you will attain birth. Jinshin, fukai kokoro wa futatsu ni wa. Hitotsu ni wa waga mi wa kono you ni tsumi bukai mayoi no bonbu de ari. Hakari shirenai mukashi kara itsumo mayoi tsuzukete. Kore kara ato mo mayoi no sekai o hanareru te gakari ga nai to. Yurugi naku fukaku shinjiru. Futatsu ni wa Amida Butsu no shijuu hachi gan wa shujou o osame totte o sukui kudasaru to utagai naku tamerao koto naku Amida Butsu no ganriki ni omakase shite machigai naku oujou suru to yurugi naku fukaku shinjiru to. Good morning, everyone. We're now here at the end of our journey through the six paramitas, although, of course, our journey through the six paramitas continues throughout our lives. Today, we've arrived at the sixth of the six paramitas, the perfection of wisdom. Wisdom in the Buddhist tradition is to see things as they truly are. We talk about Amida Buddha as the Buddha of immeasurable light. That light represents the Buddha's wisdom that shines into our lives and shows us this world as it truly is, shows us ourselves as we truly are. So today I want to reflect a little bit on this light. The light of the Buddha, the wisdom that shines into our hearts and what it shows us. There's an expression that I want to talk about today. It's a Japanese expression. It's shikata ga nai. Has anybody heard this expression, shikata ga nai, before? I see some heads nodding. I hear this one a fair amount around my house these days. There are a lot of things that are not going the way that I wish they would go. There are a lot of things that are disappointing. There are a lot of things that I wish I could do differently, but I'm not able to due to this COVID-19 pandemic. Things like, oh, I wish I could drop my kids off at school and let them have a wonderful day at school. I talked about that a little bit last week. There are a lot of things I wish we could do here at the temple. We missed out on Terakoya. We missed out on our picnic. We missed out on a lot of the things we love to do over the summer. And week by week, as these things have come to mind, I've been maybe monkeying, complaining a little bit, talking to my wife about it, and she has the perfect response. Shikata ga nai jan. Shikata ga nai means it can't be helped. It can't be any other way than it is. Whatever the situation is, can't be any other way than it is right now. And this is the reflection of the Buddha's wisdom that whatever our circumstances are in the present moment, they are the result of the wisdom. They're the result of the actions that we have done in the past. So the Buddha's teaching is very clear on this matter. Everything that exists is the result of something that was done or not done in the past. And what we do and do not do right now will determine what our circumstances, what our lives, what kind of person we will be in the future. So recognizing this truth is, in a sense, the heart of the wisdom of the Buddha. That is, we receive, shining from the light of Amida in these words, Namo Amida Butsu. So this expression, shikata ga nai, which we often translate as something like, it can't be helped. In a way, it's one of these Japanese expressions that you really can't render perfectly in English, but I've been kicking around some different translations this week, and I think perhaps it can't be helped is pretty good, or it can be no other way than it is, given everything that has been in the past, right? And so when I first heard this expression, I thought, that's kind of a bad attitude. Shikata ga nai, looked it up in the dictionary, it can't be helped. And I remember I would be in situations and there'd be something that was frustrating and somebody would say, shikata ga nai. You're just giving up. You're just giving up. And that was my attitude. And then sometimes I would have that kind of shikata ga nai attitude. Nah, I have nothing I can do about it. I'll just give up. But I realize now that that's not really the heart of what this expression shikata ga nai means for people who have said it at the most crucial and at times challenging times in their lives. I came to more deeply appreciate the meaning of this expression shikata ga nai, not while I was living in Japan, but actually after having lived in Japan for almost 7 years, I came back here to the United States, and I began to serve as a minister here in the Buddhist Churches of America and make friends with many, many people who have been living this wisdom of the Buddhist tradition for generations here in the United States. And there was one good Dharma friend that I met when I was the minister. When I first started out, I was a minister in Oxnard, California, and then also helping out at a temple in Santa Barbara. And from time to time, I would go to visit one of the most senior members of the Buddhist Church of Santa Barbara. She wasn't able to come out to services very often, only on special occasions. But I loved to hear her and to listen to her stories. So one afternoon, I went to pay her a visit and just to spend some time together with her and her daughter and to hear some of the history of the Santa Barbara Sangha and that community. And she shared a story with me from when she was 12 years old. She was born in 1914, so this would have been in the kind of late 1920s. She was 12 years old. At that time, of course, here in the United States and in California, we had many very unjust and discriminatory laws targeting immigrants from Japan. Her parents were hardworking business people. They owned a store there in Santa Barbara. They had established a successful business, but they felt insecure because they weren't able to own the property where the business was held. They weren't able to own the business outright in the sense that the building where the business was held, they had the money to buy it, but they were not allowed to buy it because they weren't born here in the United States. They were born in Japan. And so what they did was they put the business in the name of their 12-year-old daughter. And they hired a Caucasian lawyer to come and to help them draw up the paperwork and serve as a kind of co-partner in the business with her. And so one afternoon, this Caucasian gentleman comes over to their house and they fill up a bunch of paperwork and they're using words like, guardianship and legal guardians and all of these things and, the various technical terms that she didn't understand, but she knew something was very serious and she understood that her family was entering into a very profound relationship with an important relationship with this Caucasian gentleman. And so after they had talked for a while and written a bunch of paperwork, they asked her, okay, come over here. We need you to sign right here. And so she looked at this paper. She looked at her parents and they said, go on, sign it. And she said, okay. And she wrote her name. And she told me, I thought that they were selling me to this man. Right? That was what she thought. She thought that she was, you know, she was filling out some paperwork and that they were, that her parents were, you know, going to sell her to this guy, right? Now, of course, her parents would never do something like that. But it was a strange and unusual situation, right? She said, well, this is what I have to do for my family. And looking back on it, she realizes that that was the best decision for her family. But at the time, she had real questions. Is this what we need to be doing? But her parents said, you need to do it. So Shikata Ganai, right? She wrote her name. She told me about another experience that she had almost 10 years later, more than 10 years, actually, in 1942. 1942, she was pregnant with a child. She was pregnant with a child at the time that the evacuation order, the start of World War II, went into effect. This month, we're observing the 75th anniversary of the end of that war. This was at the beginning of the war, when all of the people in the West Coast of Japanese ancestry, many of you and your families, were unjustly removed from your homes and your businesses and sent to incarceration camps. And so when the order came, she was also instructed to enter into this incarceration camp. However, because she was pregnant, she was given a reprieve. They said, okay, you can stay here in Santa Barbara until your baby is born. And then once the baby is born, you and the baby need to go and join the rest of the family in the incarceration camp. So she described how all of the rest of her family members left, and she remained there in Santa Barbara by herself to deliver her baby at the local hospital. And as she told this story, I thought, oh my goodness. I just couldn't help saying, how did you do it? How did you manage that? She said, shikata ga nakatta, shikata ga nai. She said, I had no choice. I had no choice. That was the circumstance that I was in. And so she recognized that that was what had to be done, and she was able to endure that experience with great peace of mind, right? Knowing that the wisdom of the Buddha was shining into her life, showing for her the things that could be changed, the things that could not. Right? That's the kind of wisdom that sustained this community through those difficult years. And we can see that that perspective wasn't one of just give up, just, oh, well, it is what it is. Because once those families got to those incarceration camps out in the desert in these very, very inhospitable climates, these places where people thought nothing could be grown, nothing can grow in this desert, land that was considered useless by everyone else. What we found was that members of that community, perhaps some of your own parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, were skilled in farming and gardening, and they caused beautiful fields to grow with vegetables, beautiful gardens to grow with flowers, to create this beautiful circumstance in the midst of a terrible circumstance. So this shikata ga nai kokoro, this heart that recognizes what it is right now cannot be any other way given what has happened in the past, but what I do right now will determine how it shall be in the future. And so in the midst of these difficult situations, caring for their young children, giving them peace of mind as best they could in the midst of this very stressful situation, growing food, creating gardens, taking this very difficult, in many cases, inhospitable living situation and warming it with a beautiful garden, creating various modifications, creating beautiful art, right? So this is the wisdom of seeing things as they really are, recognizing what it is as the result of what has been in the past, but also the wisdom to know that what I do right now will determine how it shall be in the future, and to act with wisdom in that moment. Right? So there are different ways of thinking about this expression, shikata ga nai. What I would think of as the kind of the self-power attitude, the attitude that, you know, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. And so whatever I can't do, if I can't do it, then I'll just give up and I'll just let go. And I'll just say, oh, well, it's impossible, right? That is not shigata ganai of a person who lives with the heart of the Nembutsu and recognizes that there is this vast flow of wisdom and compassion and sees the light showing what it is, but also what can be. So that heart opens up vast possibilities. And that heart comes from the Buddha, Amida Buddha, who looked at the nature of human beings and saw that for those of us who are unenlightened, we cannot help but to give rise to greed, to anger, to ignorance. I look at myself every single day, right? I hear these teachings of the Buddha. I know, okay, these are the three poisons. These things make my life difficult, and yet they continue to rise up. Shigata ganai. If I'm unenlightened, these things continue to arise. And the Buddha recognized that, but he said, there is a possibility for this person, for even for Henry, to become awakened. And so the Buddha established the 48 vows, established this promise of a world of enlightenment and a way for all of us to enter into that enlightenment. We call that the primal vow. And when we hear that teaching, we say the words Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu is to say, I take refuge in the immeasurable light of the Buddha. Let that wisdom shine into my heart. And then receiving that wisdom, I see things as they truly are. I see that my own limitations are deep indeed. And yet I also see that there's a possibility by entrusting in the Buddha's wisdom that my life can be transformed. My life can become something different in the future. But that future is determined right now in this very moment. Shinran Shonin understood this well. He heard these teachings from the Buddha and he lived with deep gratitude and appreciation. He looked at himself and said, that's me, shikata ganai. I have this deep afflictions of greed, anger, and ignorance. And yet the more deeply he felt his own greed, anger, and ignorance, the more profoundly he entrusted in the Buddha to guide him to a life of enlightenment, to a world free of those greed, anger, and ignorance. So when we think about this teaching, the Buddha's wisdom shining into our lives, the law of cause and effect, whatever is today is the result of what was done or not done in the past, and whatever we do right now will determine how our lives will be in the future. We live with clear awareness of this wisdom, then each moment is an opportunity for us to turn about at heart, to hear the Nembutsu, to see that light, and to see a clearer way forward. And so as I reflect upon the history of our Sangha and our community here in the United States, I find that there is much wisdom to guide us through these difficult times. Think about my good Dharma friend in Santa Barbara, the example Sheik showed us of how to recognize this is the difficult situation that I'm in, and yet to, with peace of mind, care for her child, do what needed to be done in that moment with the belief that a better future was possible. I see this today in our own Sangha, right? We live in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. We can't come to the temple. Shikata ganai. At the same time, we're gathered here in this way, at the moment, 79 of us all together, hearing the Dharma, seeing one another, sharing this time together. And what we've seen is that many of those who are not comfortable with, don't have ready access to technology, that they're being supported and helped by others who see that, well, shikata ganai, maybe this loved one, this friend can't go to the temple, but there's a possibility. Maybe I can go over and help this person figure out how to use their computer and get on Zoom. Maybe I can share with them the telephone number just to dial in and listen to the service over the phone. Right? And so this has transformed our way of doing our services, of living the life of the Sangha. And this will be a lasting change because even after COVID is over, we're all able to gather here in the Hondo, we'll continue to offer these participation in these services via Zoom so that those of you who live in faraway places like Nebraska and even Holland are still able to come and join us to hear the Dharma. Right? And so all of this inspired by the wisdom of Shinran Shonin. You know, this week we're particularly concerned about these wildfires that are burning all around us here in the Bay Area, to the north, to the east, to the south. To the west is the ocean. The only place that can't catch on fire is the only place that's not burning, it seems. Why is this? Some say that this is the result of things that were done and not done in the past to deal with climate change, right? And so in this moment, what is the possibility? Shikata ganai, true, these fires are burning. They can't not burn, given the decisions we've made in the past. And yet we have people here in our Sangha, the Buddhist Women's Association, the Girl Scouts, are showing leadership and saying, there is something called an eco-sangha movement, a way that we can, in the present moment, make decisions that are wise, reflecting the Buddha's wisdom, and will show us a better way forward in the future. All of this grounded in the wisdom of Shinran Shonin, who, recognizing his own limitations, let go of his idea that I have to do it all by himself, and turned his wisdom to the wisdom of the Nembutsu and received the guidance, the light of the Buddha in this very moment. So in conclusion, I want to read a passage from, this is a record of Shinran's teachings from the Tanisho. This is different from the one I read at the start of the talk, but it really resonates, I think, with this wisdom that we find in the words of Shinran Shonin. And these also words of Shinran Shonin recorded by his good Dharma friend Yuyen to be a guidance for us in this moment to show us the wisdom of the Nembutsu. So in conclusion, I'd like to invite you to join me in Gassho. Let us hear the wisdom of Shinran Shonin. As for me, I simply accept and entrust myself to what my reverend teacher told me. Just say the Nembutsu and be saved by Amida. Nothing else is involved. I have no idea whether the Nembutsu is truly the seed for my being born in the land, or whether it is the karmic act for which I must fall into hell. Should I have been deceived by Master Honen and saying the Nembutsu were to fall into hell, even then I would have no regrets. The reason is, if I could attain Buddhahood by endeavoring in other practices, but said the Nembutsu and so fell into hell, then I would feel regret at having been deceived. But I am incapable of any other practice, so hell is decidedly my abode, whatever I do. If Amida's primal vow is true, Shakyamuni Buddha's teachings cannot be false. If the Buddha's teaching is true, Shandao's commentaries cannot be false. If Shandao's commentaries are true, can Honen's words be lies? If Honen's words are true, then surely what I say cannot be empty. Such, in the end, is how this foolish person entrusts himself to the vow. Beyond this, whether you take up the Nembutsu or whether you abandon it is for each of you to determine. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.